Hey, everybody. We are going to have another good time today on this episode. We're talking back again in Genesis, do a nice little comprehensive Bible study. This one's going to be a lot of fun. A lot of people will say that, it's science versus the Bible. Or if you talk to evolutionists or anti-creationists, they're like, oh, well, the science isn't in the Bible. And you got to, it's always pitting the two together. JD, do you see that a lot?
Yeah, and more so now than ever before, because I had never really equated, never really thought about science in regard to the Bible. Just never crossed my mind. I had both of them in separate locations. Science wrong, God right. That's kind of the way I looked at it. And since then, I've learned from you that, science is a creation of God just like everything else. And that's what I have. That's what I've learned so far. I'm looking forward to today's study.
We're going to see that it's in there, but this is why. It says in 2 Peter, and this says, 2 Peter 3, and knowing this first, verse 3, knowing this first, those should come in the last days scoffers. Scoffers, right? Mm-hmm. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. See, that's a science term right there. Uh-huh. That is a continuation as opposed to, a nihilism. So there's basically two thoughts that, or catastrophism, excuse me. So either, hey, there was major catastrophes all along the way. We talked about that last week with the planets and Mars and all that. Right. Major catastrophes along the way, or the people that are like continuationists. It's, everything was the same. And it's like he's talking about there here. Yeah. All things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. That's an evolutionist. We're talking about, oh, it took millions and millions of years or blah, blah, blah. But check this out. It says, for this they are willingly ignorant of. Willingly are ignorant.
Yeah.
That by the word of God, the heavens were of old and standing out of the water and in the water. Talking about creation. Whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, are by the same word kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment. But be not ignorant of this one thing. One day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. 1,000 years is as one day. So we're looking at like microcosm. One day is like 1,000 years. But I got to tell you, that says this is what they're going to do. So that's why we are here in the last days. So I can tell you this, JD. Science is 100% in the Bible. And we're going to go into that today. All the way down, we've talked about quantum mechanics
on
previous shows. Today we're going to look at the laws of thermodynamics and how they are in there as well. And matter of fact, all the great scientists throughout history looked to the word. They're in the Bible, and it says, oh, the Bible says this, and they went out to go search these things out because they were in the Bible.
Right.
And the Babylonian system that we have today would seek to deny Christ, so now they change the narrative, and us Christians fell for it. Oh, I'm going to go with the Bible versus science. No, science proves the Bible.
Okay.
It was in there from the beginning because he's the author of it.
Right. And that makes perfect sense. Now you said something there that interested me, that they were trying to prove the Bible right initially. I'm talking about the early scientists. That's what they went out to do, was prove it right. When did the shift happen to prove it wrong? When did that shift occur?
Like mid-1800s with Darwin. See, Darwin was just, he was kind of upset at God because things happened in his life that he didn't like. So he's like, he was actually, what was he, like the son of a pastor or something like that.
Okay.
I forget, but he was in the Word. But God didn't answer his prayer, so he's like, now he's all ticked off, and I'll show you.
So he just got mad. Yeah, okay.
Essentially, they're all that way. Steve Jobs was the same way. Ted Turner was the same way. Mm-hmm. They all didn't get their prayers answered, like, hey, save my sister, stuff like that.
And it's right. Yeah.
Instead of like, it's not a vending machine. It's, sometimes things happen.
Right.
So they say, oh, they're fairy tales and there's stories. Well, bottom line is they just have not read the Bible.
Sounds to me like they just got disappointed you know, a personal hurt. Disappointment. Yeah, hurt, you know, emotional and all that kind of stuff. And they let that cloud their judgment from then on, instead of understanding that God's plan isn't necessarily our plan. I mean, we were talking about this a little bit before we started the show. Both of us had plans to do something else with our life, and you know, God came in and changed that plan real quick.
Direct.
Yep. Yeah. Okay.
I would call that a butt hurt.
Yeah. So, there you go.
It kind of explained it really good. So we're going to talk about math a lot on this show too. We're going to talk about odds and possibilities. But that reminds me of, like, you know, I went to school. And you know, my dad was from down south in Louisiana. I don't know if I told you, but you know, I was like the first one to go to college, and and he's like, I came back from my first year, and he says, "All right, son, I want you to tell me what you learned." I said, "Well, all right, Dad. Well, I learned how to read." He said, "Smack! You already knew how to read, son. Tell me what else did you learn?" I learned how to write. Smack. You already knew how to write, son. Now I'm paying a lot of money for that there college. Why don't you tell me some of that that fancy mathematics stuff?
Okay.
All right. I said, pi r squared. He said, pi r squared? Pi r round. Cornbread squared.
Oh, boy.
That's my math joke.
Oh, man. Okay. That's crazy.
Right,
you sounded, you what you sounded like there was Jed Clampett and Jethro, you know, having an art. Yeah.
You can tell what I was rubbing up watching. But this is real, though. Check these out. Right?
Okay.
Not these. These are my BBs for all my, like, toys, BB guns and slingshot and stuff. I spilled them on the floor earlier.
Oh.
Okay. I was so upset. I was like, oh, man. So I got these copper ones and I got these white ones. And turns out I started picking them up and putting them, like, you know, in a jar and putting them away. And then I noticed when I put them all together that I noticed a pattern there. And it actually started to do Morse code. It was really weird. It was like in Morse code. I was like, that's strange. And I figured it out, and you're never going to believe what it was. It was 347 of these in a row. And you know what it said?
Nope.
It spelled out in Morse code, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Isn't that weird? What? You don't believe me?
Not a bit.
I don't understand.
That is a total impossibility, Mr. David Paxton.
Why?
That's impossible. Explain to me how it would be possible. Go on.
Well, it's just random. Shot. You know, it just randomly got together, and that's what it spelled in Morse code.
Sort of like the way the universe came together? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, man. Okay, you got me.
So check this out. Okay, gotcha.
There's only two different things here, right?
Okay.
There's two. There's the copper ones, and there's the white ones.
Okay.
All right? There was 347 letters. That means that is 2 to the 347th power, right? Which means about 10 to the 104th power. That's 10 with 104 zeros after it.
Oh, wow.
That's the possibility of that happening by chance.
Like I said, it's impossible.
Like it's impossible. So guess what? There's this thing in mathematics that anything they consider anything over 10 to the 50, 5-0, anything over 10 to the 50 is considered absurd, and it's not even worth talking about.
This is
the mathematical odds, okay?
Okay.
So clearly, 10 to the 104 is absurd times absurd. It's an absurd amount of absurd time.
Yeah.
So you're right. It's totally impossible for that to happen. It just comes to that level of being absurd. So I got to thinking, you have blood, right?
I hope so. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So blood is one molecule, just one molecule of blood is hemoglobin.
Okay.
Hemoglobin actually has 20 different elements in it. Okay.
All right.
Oh, excuse me. There's an alphabet of 20. There's 574 elements, 20 different kinds.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So in hemoglobin, there's glycine, there's 36. Alanine is 68. Serine is 31. Tyrosine is 30. Proline is 25. Valine is 56. Isoleucine is only one. Only one of those.
One.
Regular leucine is 69. Phenylalanine is 28. I think that's the stuff they put in skin cream. Threonine is 14 of those. Tryptophan, there's four. Okay. Turkey has more, though. We know that. Cysteine has five. Methionine is six. Asparaginine is 47. Probably said that wrong. Glutamine is 29. Arginine is 12. Histidine is 32. Lysine is 43. And amidate N is 38. So there's 574 if you were adding those all together.
Okay.
And there's 20 different ones. And they all have to be in a specific order.
Okay.
So if you questioned two different things and there was 347 letters and the odds are absurd, what are the odds of a hemoglobin module coming together when there's 20 different things and 574 of them?
Okay, now we're back to the impossible again.
Yeah, what do you think the odds are of that happening? It's actually 10 to the 650.
Oh, wow.
There's 650 zeros after that 10, the odds of that coming together on its own. And remember, 10 to the 50 is considered absurd.
Right.
So this would be absurd times absurd, and an absurd amount of that absurdly seen 13 times.
Oh, man.
Yeah. That's way over the top. Absurd, yeah. Of absurdity.
Yeah.
So
that's impossible.
Yeah, it really is. That's just, yeah. You know, you're just brain dead if you think that came together all by random
by
chance.
By itself. Right. Okay. Right.
Yeah. So what they'll do is they'll come across with this thing here. Let's check this out.
Okay.
So they'll say, oh, well, that's why we have so much time, because, you know, an infinite amount of monkeys on an infinite amount of typewriter. You know, remember that one?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. Well, okay. Well, first of all, there's errors in that. But anyway. So check this out. Now, if we don't believe the universe is billions of years old, but let's say they say it's 18 billion years, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. How many seconds are in 18 billion years?
I don't have the first idea.
Okay. It's 10 to the 18th. Just 18. Okay.
18
zeros. That's it.
Okay.
That's how many seconds? 1, 2, 3, 4. 10 to the 18 seconds in 18 billion years. So how many of those seconds does there have to be to get to 650? You'd have to do another 36 times the 18 billion years just to even equal the possibility of getting one hemoglobin molecule.
And this is all one.
Yeah, it's one molecule.
No,
okay, what are the odds of that? And then have it replicate itself.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. We're to infinity again. Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now,
wow.
Check this out. You know that things are, this is made up of like atoms and stuff, right?
Okay. All right.
All right. How many atoms do you think are in this pen?
A billion.
Right? Okay. You know how many atoms are in our entire galaxy, the Milky Way?
Don't have a clue.
10 to the 66.
Really? Okay.
That's it. 10 to the 66. Okay. And if you bust them down into subatomic particles, it's still only 10 to the 80.
Huh. Okay.
All right. So just 80.
Okay.
Now, the odds of my two little things coming together were 104, which are more than the subatomic particles in our entire galaxy.
That's crazy. Okay.
Yep. So here we are. We're talking, oh, yeah, it just happened by chance. Okay, again, you're retarded. It didn't happen by chance.
Right.
But we're going to talk about more of this, too. So this is the odds of this happening. So you're familiar with the Mega Millions, the lottery, right?
Right. Uh-huh.
You know what the odds are for winning the Mega Millions lottery?
No, because I don't play lotteries, so I really don't know. Don't have a clue.
Okay. Well, they've rigged it pretty good. The odds are 302.5 million.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Okay.
Yeah,
so you got to ask yourself a question. Yeah.
Okay.
Ask yourself this question. What are the odds you're going to win the lottery today?
Next to nothing. I mean, you do have, I mean, people win it, so I can't say it's impossible, but, you know, I'm never going to win it.
It's not impossible, but, you know, it's up there.
Yeah.
You know, it's 302 million to one. Yeah. All right. Now, check this out. In order to get that one molecule of hemoglobin, just one molecule, you would have to win the Mega Millions lottery 40 days in a row straight.
No,
that's
never
the same odds.
I've heard of people winning the lottery more than once, but they didn't win it 40 times in a row. That's for sure.
Yeah, great. And not the big one either.
Yeah, for real.
Maybe the little ones. So, yeah, I mean, you better play the lottery. If you believe in evolution, buy yourself some lottery tickets. It'd be fun. So that is the odds. So we see this. Let me see. Oh, there's the lottery thing. All right. Now, check this out. Even if you could, you know, figure out and then this code, there's something. There's alphabets in there,
okay.
And alphabets imply intelligence to put in information. So this is where we really get off the rails. The odds are just absurd, and absurd times a million times absurd.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not going to happen. Now it gets even better because information had to be added. I'm going to give you a simple one. Let me ask you this.
Okay.
Do you know one if by land, two if by sea?
Yes.
Okay. What was that? Do you remember?
Well, it's the English invasion with Paul. Wasn't it Paul Revere? I can't remember.
Yeah.
But anyway, one if coming by land or two by sea, something like that. I don't remember which one was which, but
simple code, right?
Right.
Simple with all the binary code.
Right. Real easy. Yeah.
Simple binary code. Just two, and it's this one or that one.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, if they had the greatest Enigma machine today, they could not break that code.
What?
You can have the most powerful computers that we have today, and you would not be able to break that simple code.
Why not?
Because it had to be predetermined ahead of time what it meant.
Oh. Okay. I never thought about that before, but that's true. Okay.
Right. It's true. You need that information ahead of time. So information has to be put into this. Because, okay, great, I see a light in the tower. But what does it mean?
Yeah.
Oh, I see two lights in
the
tower.
Well, if you hadn't been told, you wouldn't have a clue what it meant. Okay, all right, I understand.
It wouldn't even faze you. It wouldn't do anything. So we see that this information has to be ahead of time.
Okay. Okay.
It had to have coordination.
Mm-hmm.
It had to have planning.
Right.
And it had to have intelligent design.
Right.
Agreed. Okay, so the biggest... The biggest and baddest code thing that we have today would not be able to break that code.
Okay, yeah. You said Enigma machine, and, you know, just for people that are not familiar with that, that's an old machine that the Nazis used back in World War II, it was almost an unbreakable. Well, I think they had to discover another Enigma machine in order to break it, right?
They had to figure out what information was being put into it.
Right, right, exactly.
What it was. So you know what was cool? You know how they finally figured it out?
No.
They figured it out because the Nazis were so religious towards Hitler that to begin every single communication, it said Heil Hitler.
Okay.
They knew that going in.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, now we can figure out the code. We have the first few letters.
Yeah, okay. That makes perfect sense. That makes perfect sense. What was it we had? We had those code talkers or whatever. I forget.
Navajo.
Yeah, they never did break that one, right?
No, they never did, because Navajo, it doesn't have any structure to the language. It's just, hey, we made up a word, and it means this. Almost like English.
Yeah.
It's like I was sitting here the other day going, oh, no. You know, and my wife asked me, what's wrong? I said, every letter C in Pacific Ocean is sounded differently.
And your wife said, and you're really concentrating on this, David?
You waste your time. Go back to work.
That's great.
But that's English. But the Navajo is even worse. They literally, they won the war because of their codes.
Yeah, they did.
No one had any clue what they were saying. Because they made it up. My dad was kind of like that.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to have to tell cool stories because we're almost at the half time here.
Okay.
And he would make up names for all sorts of stuff, and we used to do home improvements together. And be like, oh, hand me the mats. I'm like, what's a mat? It's like, oh, it's a hammer. It's like, okay. then he changed the name to the Tool of Justice.
Tool of Justice.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay. Why are you calling it that? And he's like, what does it matter? As long as you know what I'm talking about.
He just liked to mess with you, I think. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, right? And we came up with all sorts of stuff. With like the screwdriver rule. You probably know the screwdriver rule.
What's that?
And it's whatever screwdriver you need, whether it's the Phillips head or the flathead, the first three you pick up will be the other one.
Yes, yes, yes. I agree with that one 100%. Yeah.
Yeah,
and when you do find the right one, it's too big or too small. Yeah,
I know. Correct. It's not the right size. Yeah,
right.
So you are familiar with the screwdriver rule?
Yes, I am. Very.
Well, who else would know that? All right. So let's polish up this half with this fun little bit of information.
Okay.
So we learned the code, the binary code, two bits of information. Bink, bink. You know how many bits we have in our computers today?
It's
a bit and then like a byte. So each byte has 8 bits in it. It's an 8-bit system that we have for computers.
Okay.
That's why you see, you know, the 64 and all that, because then it's 8 times 8. So you'll see. That means each piece of information, it's 4 little switches on or off.
Okay.
On, off. And there's 8 of them. 8 switches on or off. And depending on which one. On, off, 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 on, off, off tells you what letter it is. It's an A, a B, a C, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have an advanced system, and that's how this knows. But if the computer didn't know, you couldn't get the basic language that's built in it. You still need that basic language to figure out the code, and the information has to be programmed in advance. So even our computers don't work. Okay. So that's how, you know, intricate and powerful the computers are. Then it actually only needs 7, but one of them is an error detecting one. So it'll let you know if this letter is wrong or this is in the wrong space. Okay. So it'll just give you an error report. And that's where we see error come up on the computer. Because it has 7 bits and the 8th one is an error detecting one. They have fancy computers now, and these fancy computers are error correcting. So they have 11 bits, so that 8 will detect the error, and then on, you know, you get 3 more up to 11, and they actually will figure out, they'll say, okay, there's an error. The next one will go figure out where the error is. And then the next one will actually flip it. So it corrects the error and then checks it again.
Huh. Okay.
So you can have computer programs that are like, you know, you talk about the AI and stuff. They're not real good at it yet, apparently. But that's the idea. It's an 11-bit, an error-correcting code. Okay. And, you know, you got to be like an ultra geek genius just to even figure out how to write this code.
Right.
But they have that already where it can correct itself. And that's kind of leaning into Antichrist AI territory. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Because, you know, we both agree that, you know, there's computers are involved in this Antichrist thing. I guarantee you. You know.
Yep. Adiabatic quantum computers and all
there's
that.
There's no way that somebody could just pull this off. They didn't have some kind of tool. There's no way. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
So we're going to get into even some more Bible verses and everything in the second half, but I wanted to just give a real clue just to upset your apple cart. If you're really thinking that there, you know, the Bible is not true and there's no creation and this and that, just that alone, without even reading the Bible yet, seeing all the science that's in there, we're going to do that in the second half, but you should know that there had to be a designer.
Yeah.
There had to be someone who was intelligent, who put the information in first.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. That's the real key. And because of prophecy, the Bible predicted what was going to happen throughout this time-space continuum thousands of years ago.
Right.
We know for a fact that the Bible is the only book that was sourced from outside of our time-space continuum. It was outside of our domain, which means it had to be the creator of this domain who wrote that book.
Yeah.
That book tells us that Jesus Christ had to come down and pay for your sins.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's a problem. You violated the original contract. He said, don't do that. If you do, you'll die.
Right.
So Jesus had to come down and die as a man to pay for your sins.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's right.
So this is ultimately the goal of proving that the Bible is true and proving what it says is true so you'll believe it. That's how I came to Christ. I said, wow, this book is true, so everything in it must be true.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about more in the second half. JD, anything else, or are we good to go?
We're good.
We're out. Okay, I'll see you in the second half.
From Feature Story News in London, I'm Ollie Barrett. U.S. President Joe Biden is among leaders from the world's richest G7 nations at a critical summit in southern Italy. They'll discuss how to use frozen Russian assets to help Ukraine amongst a host of other global challenges. Giles Gibson reports from Bari.
Talks on the opening day of the summit will focus on Africa, climate change, the Middle East, and the war in Ukraine. Now, the G7 over recent months has been trying to reach a deal on how to structure a loan for the Ukrainian war effort that would be secured against the future profits of frozen Russian assets in the West. But now, as we head into the summit, hopes are fading that the G7 leaders are actually going to be able to agree a final deal before the end of this summit. Then on the second day of the summit, we're going to see talks on China, and Pope Francis will also be joining in for a special session on the risks of artificial intelligence.
Kuwaiti authorities are undertaking a mass inspection of residential apartment buildings after a fire killed 49 people on Wednesday. Over 100 structures have been visited by officials, with dozens of basement violations found. Stuart Smith reports from Iraq.
These apartment buildings usually hold migrant workers, and after the worst building fire in Kuwait's history, officials have been quick to blame what they call greedy landlords for alleged safety violations in the upkeep of their buildings. When firefighters entered the block on Wednesday, they reported being thwarted by locked doors, which should have provided residents an escape route and firefighters entry. They also told Kuwaiti media that flammable materials had been used to construct the walls dividing rooms. One of the building's 200 residents said it took him 2 hours to leave the smoke-filled building with the assistance of firefighters. Most of the casualties were of Indian origin, and in addition to those who died, around 50 were hospitalized. Stuart Smith, Baghdad.
Britain's opposition Labour Party set out its election manifesto, which it says is focused on economic growth. Labour's promising a state-owned energy firm, hiring of more teachers, and ruling out surprises on taxation. The Conservatives claim Labour's spending pledges would require tax hikes. The German government's announced plans for a partial return of military service. It's the latest European country to propose changes to military recruitment following Russia's invasion of Ukraine. From Berlin, Trent Murray.
Under the plans announced by Defence Minister Boris Pistorius, all young men would be required to answer a mandatory questionnaire about their willingness and ability to serve in the military. The government insists it won't be a mandatory requirement and that they're looking for people who are motivated. Women would also be sent the questionnaire, but with no obligation to take part. The plan includes basic military service for 6 months, with an option for an additional 17 months if the applicant agrees.
From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the second half. We're talking about codes in the Bible, and then talking about the codes that are in even our computer system with 8-bits and then parodies and all sorts of cool stuff, like an 11-bit error correcting code. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
JD?
Mm-hmm.
That was fun, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you kind of, well, you do this every week, but you really blew my mind with all these, you know, infinity numbers mm-hmm. that you came up with in the first half. And I really think, and I'm just going to start it with this, I believe you have disproved any possibility that evolution is even possible. And I don't think any scientist could listen to you and have a debate with you. I really don't. I really don't think anybody's ever hit them with all that. You know?
Yeah.
Okay.
I see creationists and they're like, oh, I'll have a debate with an evolution. It's like, you know, what are you debating? Oh, well, you know, we see this fossil over here and that over there. Where did it start?
Right.
If you can't get it started, why you even have a debate? It can't go anywhere.
You know? Right.
Here's the beginning. How did it begin? Well, first there was nothing, and then it blew up.
Who was that guy, Hawkins, I think? You know, he was supposed to be so brilliant, and his very last one is, you know, the universe exists because it has to. That was his
it has
big,
to.
Yeah, that was
the big moment.
Yeah, that was his big one. Yeah, that was his big one. Good. Great.
No, he couldn't talk. So there's people that are saying things like, well, he wasn't saying anything because he was just sitting there like this,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And the computer was saying anything. So they're like, nah, his wife just needed the money. So she kept that going on and she would just type all that stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And he wasn't
right.
saying anything.
Uh-huh.
That poor guy, I imagine if he's in there and like, he's like, I didn't say this, but he can't, what's he going to do about it? You know,
right?
He's just saying it, and he's furious. He's fuming inside. I kind of hope that is the case, and you know, he was saved.
Me too.
And they just used his body, but we'll see.
Yeah.
We shall see. But anyway, back to the codes.
Okay.
Now, if I told you the same thing with these beads, you didn't even believe with the copper and the white beads that it made a Morse code. Imagine I tell you, well, this computer that I have here with the 8-bit. Architecture on it just produced itself, you know, just kind of over millions of years. We talked about the camera last week, remember? Hey, remember my camera? Yeah, just kind of all of a sudden they randomly got together and created this monitor that just randomly has all this stuff you can see on it.
Right.
So that's interesting too. So check it out. That's just the 8-bit code.
Yeah.
You know? Now we get into the 11-bit error correcting code.
Okay.
And that's that. So check this out. Now we get into DNA. And this is kind of where things really, you thought it was, you know, impossible before.
Right.
Check this out with the DNA.
Okay.
Okay. Now you would have to know with the 2-bit code, whether it's one by land, two by sea. The DNA code is a 3 out of 4 self-correcting and a self-replicating code. Okay? So that's like all those things in your computer saying, okay, I got another bit over here, and it reads itself and then goes and writes another one exactly the same way.
Okay.
All by itself.
All by itself. Okay.
All by itself and then produces another one. So here, DNA code is not 347 letters like our example. Okay? Mm-hmm. the DNA code is not 547 like the one hemoglobin molecule.
Okay.
Okay, that's 547, so you got to go to 547th power.
Okay.
And 2020 to the 547th power, which is like 650. So the DNA is 3 billion elements.
Oh, ouch. Yeah, okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
Try and get all of them in order on the first
shot.
That
ain't going to happen.
And there's, so you got this code. It's self-correcting. Mm-hmm. It's self-replicating, and it defines, manufactures, and arranges hundreds of thousands of mechanical devices in order for your body to work.
Wow. Okay.
One single cell in your body is more complicated to build and run than an entire city.
Wow.
Okay. It's got waste management. It's got roads of travel. It's got a network of information and... I mean, it's just on and on and on with all these different things. There's literally hundreds of thousands of little mechanical devices, and they all know what to do. It's got it's got their little book on how to build it. It says which materials you got to use. It tells you how to use it. Mm-hmm. It tells you what to do with it. It tells you when it's broken and how to fix it. Or if it's way beyond that, you throw it out and you make a new one. Just happened by accident, right?
Yeah, again, more evidence that evolution is a joke.
Yeah. So what are the odds of that? 3 billion letters lining up in perfect sequence and then replicating itself. But it happened.
Yeah. Infinity to one.
Remember.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even if they give them 18 billion years, there's only 10 to the 18th seconds in the universe. So, all right. So we're going to talk about that. Okay, you get to pick. You want to go into laws of thermodynamics? You want to read some Bible verses?
I want to read some Bible verses.
All right. So this all started because we're in Genesis chapter 2.
Yeah.
All right. Isn't that fun? So let's read that. You have your Bible up?
Hold on. Let me get it.
Okay. Oh, I'll read this one. You just get the next one.
Well, I won't be able to read, David. It's too far away from me. I can see it, but I can't read it. Go ahead.
It's like the end of the earth. We're not there, but I can see it from here. All right. So again, Genesis chapter 2, thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the hosts of them. So here we go. Mm-hmm. Finished. What does that mean? Well, we're entering into the laws of thermodynamics now.
Okay.
Okay. And number one is conservation.
But basically, right? when you say finished, just to clarify here before you get going, you're basically saying God is finished. Now it's time for his work to take over and for things to go from there. But he's done his work as far as establishing the world, establishing all the creatures and us and everything else, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. All right. That's it.
So it's a law of conservation. Matter and energy cannot be created or destroyed. That's the first law of thermodynamics.
Okay.
Okay. It's just, that's a law. It is. You cannot destroy it. If you try and burn up matter, it turns to energy. It's an equal amount, or you can turn energy into matter. Okay. All right. You can't make any more and you can't destroy it. It can't go away. It's conservation. You can't get rid of it. It's there. That's what this says in Genesis 2:1. And he finished the work and it was all done. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, ended.
Yeah.
And he made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. And he blessed the seventh day because he rested. So this whole thing is talking about, okay, he is not creating anymore. And you can't create anymore because we have this first law of thermodynamics conservation. And that's called, you can't win.
Okay.
That's what they call it. You can't win because it's, you just can't.
You just can't.
Yeah. So in Hebrews chapter 4, let me see. We're going to read 3 and 4. For in which we have believed do enter into rest, have sworn in my wrath, if you shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise. Okay. Again, this talks about a literal 7 days of creation. He's talking about it right here again,
right?
In Hebrew. literal 7 days. And the seventh day, God did rest. So this is confirmation. Remember, we need corroborating evidence.
Right.
This is it. I've sworn into my, and I entered into my rest, was the works which were finished from the foundation of the world.
Yeah.
So there, law of conservation, it's finished. You can't make any more. You can't take any away.
Okay.
Finished.
Okay.
Boom. And then we go into Nehemiah. Remember that?
Yes.
We always talk about Nehemiah, don't we?
Once or twice, maybe.
Did we ever? I know we got into Amos.
Yeah, we got into Amos last time. I was going to tell people, you know, make sure that you go back and watch that show. You know,
yes.
Because that's a big one. Yeah.
Yeah, Danny liked it a lot. Thou, even thou. Okay, so we're in Nehemiah 9:6. Thou, even thou, O Lord, are alone that has made the heaven of heavens with all their hosts, the earth and all things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein, and thou preservest them all.
Okay.
There's now Nehemiah. Said, you're the one who preserves them all.
Yeah, explain the preserve part.
Well, here's the deal. This is talking about the first law of thermodynamics here in the Bible.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. He preserves them all. In other words, it's a law of conservation.
Okay.
Here they are. He is holding it together. All right. Mm-hmm. And that brings us into, you can't lose or matter and energy. It's equal. It's equal. Whatever, no matter what you do, it's equal.
Okay.
And it's going to come out on the other end. We're going to lose some. If we transfer one to the other, we're going to lose it to here, but it goes into energy, and it goes into this, and it goes into that.
Okay.
And then it all kind of mixes together. We'll get into that in a minute. But he preserves them all. You can't make new stuff, and you can't take it away. That brings us to zero-point energy. You familiar with that?
No, I'm not.
Okay. So I always wondered, since I went to engineering college, I'm like, okay, this is great. I have this atom, and electrons are spinning around. And I got all the protons in the middle. Mm-hmm. What's keeping that all together? I asked myself, well, why are the protons? They're all positive. Why are they staying together in the middle of an atom? They called it Van der Waals force back then. It's a really good question. They're supposed to repel if they're like charges, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
And then, so the Bible talks about that. He says he holds the universe together with his hand. It's like, oh, that's cool. I wonder how he does that, right? And then, how do the electrons keep spinning around? What's keeping them in motion? Mm-hmm. Wouldn't they stop after a while?
You would think, yeah.
You would think. Okay. Well, it turns out they are losing some stuff, but what's keeping it afloat for now is something called zero-point energy.
Okay.
Zero-point energy. If you take a cubic centimeter of empty space, this empty space doesn't have anything in it, and you take all the heat out, that's zero-point energy. It's absolute zero temperature and no mass or anything. That cubic centimeter of space has more energy than 100 million galaxies.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
Oh, good grief, David.
Just that cubic cent. That's how much energy is just in our time-space continuum.
Wow.
I think it was like, yeah, so they're like 100 million galaxies over 100 million years. So you could.
Good grief.
It's ridiculous.
That's incredible is what that is.
Yeah, and we're worried about where we're going to get energy from.
Right, exactly.
Everywhere.
Oh, man.
Well, that's what he's talking about. He's holding it together. He preserves them all.
Preserving
because he's holding the atoms together. That's why he said he literally is holding you together. And at any second, he could just go, boop.
Yeah.
And poof.
Let
and
go.
It all ceases to exist.
Yeah, we done.
Yeah. Okay. Isn't that wild? But it all happened by accident. So that's the law of conversation, which says you can't win. You can't get rid of it. You can't add anymore. That's it.
Okay.
The game's flat. Well, the second law of thermodynamics we do talk about a lot, and that's entropy. All processes involve a loss, okay? And if I burn something, then some of that's going to turn to matter and some's going to turn to energy. Mm-hmm. There's always friction. There's always some kind of a loss of things breaking down. Okay. And that is called, you can't break even. No matter what you do, there's no perpetual motion machine.
Okay.
And this has been established. So the perpetual motion, you got this going here, but some of that will be lost to energy. So you're trading matter for energy. You're trading motion for electric. It all balances out, but when you do things, it's going to move from one to the next. Okay. All right. That's, we see 102, Psalm 102. Let me see here. 25. That says, of old, thou hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and thou shalt be changed. Okay? But you are the same. Your years have no end. So he's talking about God is eternal, but because of the corruption that we face, so we can't create energy or matter, but what it does, it degrades over time. Okay. And then it becomes this equilibrium, all right? Just like when if you put a hot bottle in the fridge, it'll become cold because the equilibrium will happen.
Okay.
So you'll see that's actually the third law. But the entropy is what does that. And so the third law is equilibrium, but it's because of entropy that it does that. So it's all there, and it's going to change from one form to another, and it's all going to balance out. So the third law actually will lead us to, it couldn't be here for bazillions of years.
Okay.
Because they say, some people say, well, it's infinite. But then they figured out it can't be infinite. That was the original thing back in the early 1900s. Oh, mm-hmm. The universe has just always been here. And then they figured out, well, it can't be because of the second law of thermodynamics and equilibrium. It would all be the same temperature.
Yeah.
If we were here that long.
Uh-huh.
Right? Just like when you put the hot bottle in the fridge.
Right.
It's gonna equilibralize, mm-hmm. if that's a word. Okay.
It's a good mighty
word. Yeah. And then Isaiah 51:6, that's a fun one.
Mm-hmm.
And that says, lift up your eyes to the heavens and look upon the earth beneath. For the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment. And they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished.
Amen.
So those things, those eternal things, mm-hmm. outside of that, his righteousness will not be abolished, and salvation is eternal because it's outside of our time-space continuum.
Mm-hmm.
So there's entropy again in Isaiah 51, mm-hmm. verse 6.
Yeah.
Matthew 24:35.
Isn't Isaiah one of the longest books in the Bible, Isaiah?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it seems like when I start reading it, it seems like it takes me a year to get through it. I mean, I'm exaggerating, but it seems like it takes forever to get through the thing,
Okay. Yeah, it's a big one.
Yeah, it is.
And there's a big story to that. Jeremiah, they burned all his books, so he rewrote them. That's fun.
Oh, man.
So here's Jesus talking in Matthew 24. And in verse 34, it says, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Amen. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will not pass away.
Amen.
So he's differentiating. Again, differentiating, time, space, continuum, and all the matter that's in there, and the second law of thermodynamics, compared to the eternal realm where he dwells,
mm-hmm.
and where we will dwell shortly.
Yes.
And then Romans, what have the Romans ever done for us? because a creature itself, so this is a good one. Now, it's really hard to deny this one. Okay. So we'll start Romans 8, and we'll start in 20. For the creature was made subject to vanity.
Mm.
All right, so basically, that's King James. Let me see if I can bring it up in another one. Basically, it says, all creation, it's our fault that they're suffering. So the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will also be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Interesting, right?
Hmm, yeah.
Okay. Oh, let me see here. Oh, that's 21. It'll be set free from the corruption, okay? It's the bondage of decay, it's called in the King James. But that's what he's talking about. Slavery to corruption, or bondage of decay. That's the second law of thermodynamics. Everything falls apart. You leave an apple on a table, come back in a week and see what it looks like.
Yeah, for real. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we see that. Talking about the second law of thermodynamics, and that is you can't break even. So the first one is you can't win, right? Second one is you can't even break even because there's always that loss.
Right.
Okay. And the third law of thermodynamics is basically equilibrium, basically. So it's 0 point. It'll all eventually equilibrize to nothing.
Okay.
And that says you can't even get out of the game. So we're stuck in this bondage of decay.
Yeah.
You can't win. Yep. You can't win. You can't even break even. And you can't get out of the game. This is it.
Oh, man.
So you best receive Jesus now.
Yeah, you better. Oh, man. Okay.
That's crazy. The bondage of the kid. Yeah, that's it really crazy, is. David. So that's it. Fortunately, you understood a lot of that, so we were able to get through that pretty quick.
Well, I'm not saying I understood all of it or a vast majority of it, but the thing is that it proves again that evolution is a joke. I mean, when you really break it all the way down, anybody that believes in that, you know, you might as well believe that you can fly. You know, I mean, really, it's pretty simple. You know, there did have to be a beginning. And there did have to be a creation, and there did have to be a creator, and that's God. It has to be. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like David continually says, you know, willingly ignorant fits all those people that believe in that crap, you know?
Yeah, you're dumb on purpose.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So, God gives us a nice science quiz when we get into Job. All right,
oh,
so
Job, that poor about. Job is that guy. I've said this before. He's that guy I never want to be. You talk about somebody that went through some serious suffering. Good grief! Thank goodness I wasn't Job.
So let's take a look at him since we got a couple extra minutes here.
Okay.
And the last four chapters is just a giant science test. So it ends in 42, and starts in 38. Okay. And they're pretty cool. All right. And it's there's so many. And there's dinosaurs in there, too. What about the dinosaurs? Oh. Just read your Bible. What about Behemoth and Leviathan? Yeah. All right. Here we go. So then in chapter 38, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkened counsel by words without knowledge?" I like to talk to people like that. You give me dark counsel and you don't know what you're talking about. That's really what he's saying.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Job is like questioning God. He says, "Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge?"
Yeah, that was a mistake.
He says, "Gird up your loins now like a man." Yeah, he basically says, "Pull your pants up." Now I'll ask you a question and you answer me. "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare if you have understanding. Who laid the measures thereof, if you know? Who stretched the line upon it? Oh, whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened?" Where's, right? I said, "Where are they fastened?" Well, clearly they're not. "Or who laid the cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy, or who shut up the sea with doors?" Okay. "Was that you? When it break forth and as it had an issue out of the womb. When I made the cloud and the garment thereof and the thick darkness a swaddling band for it." So there we talked about, remember that show we had on the darkness as an entity?
Yeah.
We're going to dig into that in our Bible study this week. Yeah. It's going to be fun. But anyway,
cool.
Try. Yeah. So thick darkness as a swaddling band for it. Now, that's like a baby. They wrap the babies in the swaddling band.
Swaddling clothes.
They wrap you up in darkness like a baby.
Yeah.
Break up my decreed place. So we see he's laying out over and over and over again the foundation of the earth.
Right.
Okay. Right. So there's science all over the Bible.
Uh-huh.
So JD, what do you think about that?
Well, yeah, like I said, it's opened my eyes to it because I never considered science as anything but, you know, I don't want to say evil or wrong or, you know, but it's like I put science way down on the list because I didn't want to believe in science. I wanted to believe in God. And what I didn't understand until recently is that God created science. So, you know, you can use science and all you're going to do is prove God right. That's all you're going to do. You know, you can work on it your whole life, and there's been a lot of people that have tried, right? And all they do is prove it right every time.
Every single time.
Yeah.
From all types of science, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to the here, even Einstein's like, everything I find just proves what was written in the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Basic. Yeah. Planck. You know, and they did that. There was one Nietzsche. Nietzsche was a psychologist, though. He's like he's a thinker, and he's like, "Oh, okay. God is dead." Okay, well, now Nietzsche's dead.
Yeah.
So it's now, all the philosophy.
He wishes he was just dead. I'll put it that way.
Hmm.
Oh boy.
I had a shirt that said that once, and it had quotes that said, "God is dead, Nietzsche," and then right underneath it says, "Nietzsche is dead, God."
There you go.
Which one lasts longer, right?
Yeah.
So, and I mean, I don't like to make fun of him. I mean, he's burning in hell. That's not good.
No.
So here's the thing. You need to just understand that it was him that created the time-space matrix.
Right.
All of them. All the scientists come back and do that. So if anyone, they come out of the gate and they say that, I know they were clearly just indoctrinated with their college.
Yeah.
Okay? They're just indoctrinated. They didn't do any real study. And it's the same with a lot of different topics. People, you know, they'll argue this way or that way. Well, you're just taking the talking points of what someone said and you're not really looking into it.
Yeah.
So I would really encourage everybody to look into these things and ask those questions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's a valid question. Who made the universe?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it says so right here, and it's demonstrable, and you can go test what he said scientifically.
Right.
And when did he make it?
Mm-hmm. Why don't you take the last minute and a half here that we got and let people know about the Bible study and how they can take part?
That's always fun. We have an open discussion when we are on the Bible study. If you want to join, you can either go to thehiddenday.com and you can check on there for the link to get in. Thursday nights at 8 p.m. We're just on Zoom, Eastern time. Thursday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern time. I know this show goes on, but this show's recorded.
Mm-hmm.
But we go on live and we'll talk on the Zoom. Or you can just email me, thehiddenday@protonmail.com. thehiddenday@protonmail.com. Mm-hmm. And you just ask me, hey, what's the link and what do we want to talk about? And you can even use that email address to send topics for this show. So we love to talk about things and answer people's questions.
Absolutely.
So, and we do from time to time. If you got a big one you want to talk about, send it to us.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, you know, it's getting close. Jesus is coming back real soon, but, you know, who knows? Our lives might be over even sooner than that.
Right.
So I would encourage you to learn about Jesus Christ more and more. I would encourage you to receive him as your Savior and had let him pay for your sins because he loved you enough to come down to earth, step off of his throne to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So Lord willing, we will see you next time on The Last Christian in our comprehensive Bible study. You guys have a blessed day. We'll see you then.
Thanks again for joining us today for The Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.
Put a frog in boiling water and it'll jump right out. But put a frog in cool water and slowly heat it up, that frog will boil.
As veterans, we tell ourselves the lie that we can handle anything. We let the water boil. You are not a frog. If you or a veteran you know needs support, don't wait. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.